Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
To get into the presence of God. Why don't you all just stand up with me? And we are going to pray. Oh, more people want to meet me up front than that. Come on. We've got a reason to praise God this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let's pray. Father, I just thank you that in every single season of life, we've got a reason to praise you. God, that in every situation we can see the good in it, that you're working it out for our good because we love you. So Jesus, thank you for giving us the breath in our lungs. Thank you for giving us our jobs. Thank you for waking us up. Thank you for giving us every single reason to praise your name. And everybody said, hallelujah, let's praise God. Are you ready? All right.
You're the peace inside I can't makes me stronger. My God is greater.
Come on, one more time with everything you've got.
It makes me stronger. The joy of the Lord, it makes me stronger, greater, greater. My God is greater, His power is power. It makes me stronger.
Why you have a reason to praise this morning, okay? One reason, that's it. Just find one person, one reason.
Miracles and wonders. everything from a new point of view. To be seated with Jesus in heavenly places. From his perspective, everything is made new. There is lightning and thunder, miracles and wonders, sounds of many waters, heaven on earth.
There is lightning and thunder, miracles and wonders, sounds of many waters, heaven on earth.
Oh, lightning and thunder, miracles and wonders,
sounds of many waters, heaven on earth. Lightning and thunder, miracles and wonders, sounds of many waters, heaven on earth.
Oh, 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 I want to see
heaven, heaven on earth. Oh, 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 heaven, heaven on earth.
Thank you for granting us access to your presence, access to your kingdom, so that we can experience heaven here on earth. God, your will is that whatever happens in heaven, it would happen here, God. So we just receive that right now. Everybody go ahead and just raise your hands and just receive that blessing. The word says that he comes to give life and life more abundantly. We choose life in our finances. We choose life in our emotions, in our mental health. In our physical health, God, we choose life because that's what you have to offer. Jesus, I thank you for allowing us to experience heaven here on earth. I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stand. And teach my song to rise to you. Oh Lord, when temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
Come on, sing, Lord, I need you.
Lord, I need you. Oh.
Abandon everything that you have. Give it all to Jesus.
Lord, I need
you. Come on, give it all to Jesus.
Oh, I need you.
Ah, Jesus, we worship you. We worship you. Yeah.
Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness.
We declare our God, our need. We declare our dependence on you, Jesus. Lord, our life is not our own. Lord, we surrender all over again right now. We just surrender our lives and we say, Jesus, have your way with our life. God, we just choose to follow you with all that we have. Lord, we recognize that without you, Lord, there is no good thing in us. Thank you so much, God, that there is none good, no, not one. But when heaven lives inside of us, God, we can share the good news, the greatness of our God. Lord, we can live righteous. We thank you for your goodness in us, Jesus. We love you so much. We thank you for blessing us. We thank you that this morning you're here in this place. Someone's having pain in the right rib, probably halfway down. More back towards the back than towards the front. I'm not sure what's happening. I think you fell, and God's restoring that bruised rib in the name of Jesus. I command all the pain to be gone for the glory of God. Father, I thank you that, Lord, someone's dealing with cataract. I curse right now the spirit of blindness off their eyes, and I command right now, Lord, it to peel right off, disintegrate in Jesus' name, that they don't need to go through surgery. Father, I thank you, God, that the person that's troubled in their mind, Lord, their mind is, Lord, even the thoughts of suicide have been going through just recently. And Lord, I thank you that right now you're expelling that spirit of suicide in the name of Jesus. You no longer have a place. You no longer have the ability to speak and whisper in their ear. We bind you in Jesus' name. God, I release peace upon their life for the glory of God. Lord, I thank you. Lord, there's that one that's struggling to come off of drugs. Lord, they've hidden it for years. Lord, it's prescription. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that today is a day of deliverance. I curse right now, God, that spirit. And Lord, I command right now them to be free and free indeed in Jesus' name. Lord, I declare they won't even have, Lord, a withdrawal effect by the glory of God in Jesus' name. Lord, we just thank you that you care about every detail of our life. Everything, God, that we're going through you. As we rely upon you, as we rest on you, Jesus, we can have this peace that passes all understanding, that makes no sense for what we're going through. Lord, we can stay in that peace. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, just release a fresh baptism of peace in this house. God, that each one that will leave this church building will say, I don't understand it, but I just feel so rested. I feel so at peace. Let that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead quicken your mortal body by that same spirit. Lord, show us supernaturally, God, not just naturally, that you're alive. And God, we know that that means being touched, each one individually. Someone's having issues with their inner portions of the elimination section of their body. And Lord, I just speak health right now, the prostate as well. I just curse right now any sickness. And God, any pain, I command it right to be gone in Jesus' name. Father, restore, heal, make whole, God, in the name of, that's right, in the name of Jesus. You've got to obey right there, body part. You've got to obey the name of Jesus. Lord, I just thank you for your goodness. Lord, you love us so much. Lord, we just want you to know, too, that we love you. Thank you. Thank you. You're so good. God, you're so good. And we just want to say one more time, we thank you, Jesus, for loving us. In your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Isn't God good? Amen. On your way back to your chair, why don't you welcome a few folks saying, my God is good. Come on, look them right in the eye and say, my God is good. Okay, now you got 2 minutes. Meet somebody you don't know.
To settle on into your seats and pay attention to the announcements that are up and coming.
We want to invite you to come out to Harvest Fest. It's going to be Wednesday, October 31st at 6 p.m. We're going to have games, we're going to have inflatables, we're going to have candy, and we're going to have a... What are you doing?
We're just getting ready to decorate our trunk for Trunk or Treat.
But this is the stuff from the kids' wing.
Well, can we borrow it?
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. Anyway, if you want to decorate a trunk like these two are doing, make sure you sign up at the Info Center today.
His Tabernacle, amazing news. Tap your neighbor real quick. Make sure they're paying attention to this. This is so, so important for who you are and what God's going to do in your life this year. Look, it's the end of the year, but I believe it's going to be the best season. We are starting another season and round of groups. What does that mean? It means everyone should be connected to the family of God because that's how God set it up. And we know it's easy to get lost in the sanctuary, but it's really hard to get lost in someone else's house. It's really hard to get lost sitting around a circle, loving on each other, creating relationships. So I'm going to encourage you, right out front at the information center, there's signups. Also, look around the room. There are group coaches and hosts all over the place. Guys, just put your hands up real quick. We want to encourage you, find somebody, make your way out to the info center, or hop right online. I know you have a smartphone. Go right now to histabernacle.com, click the groups button, and get signed up for a group. They're starting the first week of October. Make sure you're in. Make sure you're a part of a group so that you can grow and you can see your connections rise. We love you. Have a phenomenal day.
Yes, Tabernacle family. You all look marvelous this morning. You are bright and shining the love of Christ in here and everywhere you go. Thank you, Pastor. I feel marvelous this morning. Does everybody feel marvelous this morning? Yeah. Look at you all got an extra couple hours of sleep. You should feel more marvelous than I do. We're just all happy to be here in the presence of the Lord this morning, fellowshipping with our family, full of the joy of the Lord. We want to welcome all of our guests this morning. If this is your first time at His Tabernacle ever in your life, we want to welcome you. Will you raise your hand and just, over here. Oh, look, at somebody's ratting somebody else out over here. Yes, welcome. We want to give you a gift. Welcome over here. Look at all these first-time guests. Praise the Lord. Welcome. You are brilliant. Thank you for saying yes to the person that invited you or saying yes to the tug of the Lord to show up this morning. We want to let you know, as a first-time guest, we do have a short reception for you at the end of service in the hallway over on this side, where we've served some coffee and refreshments. We'd love for you to come over and meet some of the pastors and just get to know us a little bit. And we encourage you all to please come back at least two more times. Everybody say three times. Come at least three times to get acclimated to this amazing style of church that we have that might be a little different than what you're used to, but please come back. We do have an online family with us this morning. We welcome you and thank you for being here. We have people that watch from all over the world, and we're proud to call you our family. We love you and appreciate you today. We do have Pastor Appreciation Day today. It's the day that we're honoring our pastors today. And we have a short celebration also for everyone. There will be cupcakes in the foyer after service, so please grab a cupcake on your way out and take a minute to fellowship and show honor to the pastors. We do have groups. You heard Pastor Cody on the video announcement. How many people are a member of a group? Raise your hand. That is fabulous, but it's not enough. It's not too late to join a group. The season did start at the beginning of the month, but many groups meet every other week, so they've only had maybe one time that they've gotten together. Lots of our groups have lots of room left in them, and we encourage you to get connected and join a group. We have a ton of fun. My group meets tomorrow night. I'm so excited. But we have a lot of fun in groups, so make sure that you get signed up. And the last announcement I have is that we have a program called Next Steps. Everybody say Next Steps. Thank you. Not everybody said it. But Next Steps is our education program where you get an opportunity to learn about who you are in Jesus and grow in Him. And we have it set up in steps, 1, 2, and 3. We have a new Step 2 class starting November 6th. Tuesday nights at 7 p.m., and this is a character-building class about learning to live in godly character. If you have already completed Step 1, Rock Solid Faith, and you're ready to move into Step 2, please plan on joining that class Tuesday, November 6th at 7 p.m. And now, Pastor Rhonda.
Amen. We're entering into one of my favorite times of the service, and that is the tithes and offerings, where we get to learn about how God takes pleasure in our prosperity. And honestly, I love talking about it because I would not want to do my finances without God being involved with them. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Unless God is involved, I don't want to have to deal with it on my own. But when God is involved, man, the blessings chase us down. Amen. He's so faithful and so good. But as human nature, we are acquisitive, and that's not curious. That is that mind, mind, mind. You know, as little children, you see them. Sometimes my grandchildren, especially when it comes to candy, you give them something, it's mine. You're not wanting to share with one another, and they don't want to give it up. But we make them as adults, don't we? You're going to share because we're trying to teach that mind, mind, mind spirit out of them. But how many of us get that same spirit as adults when it comes to our finances? That it's mine, 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 and we omit the one who it belongs to, who gave it to us in the first place, and that it 10% belongs to Him. And the story, the parable that Jesus spoke in the Bible of the Good Samaritan is a perfect example of this, where three men walked by this man that had been stolen from. And first we can see an attitude of the people that stole from him, what's yours is mine, and they took it. But then the priest and the Levite walked by this man that was injured and hurting and beat up because what was theirs, and they weren't sharing it. It was mine, mine, mine. But then the Samaritan man had the heart of God. And this is why Jesus shared this parable, because he had the attitude of what's mine is yours. He had a generous attitude. He understood that everything that he had came from the Lord anyways. And he shared with that man and took care of him and gave his own money to build him up. So we need to make sure we don't have that mine, mine attitude when it comes to our tithe, because the Word of God says the tithe is holy. It belongs to the Lord. And we, you know, there's so much joy in our giving. How many of you, when you share, it's just like one of the best things in the world when you share something with somebody else. It just brings so much joy when you get to share. You know, it's awesome that we get to do that, but then on top of the joy that it brings us, God then blesses us. It's so great. So we are just spoiled children of God. We get to have the joy in our giving, and He blesses our giving. Matthew 22, 21 says, render unto God the things that are God's. And he says in Psalms 24, 1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So it all belongs to God. Let's be generous with God and give Him what belongs to Him. You know, I was in a store one time and I had a woman come up to me and say, how can you demand 10% from people? And I said, first of all, I don't demand anything. I just share the word of the Lord with them. But I was able to explain, because some people don't understand why are you talking 10%? The word tithe itself, where it says the tithe is holy to the Lord, the word tithe means 10%. It's the word tithe. So that's where it comes from. God is just asking us to give back what He's given to us and entrusted to us. And it's with great joy that we get to do that. And He blesses us on top of it. Amen. How many of you are ready to give this morning? Stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration. This is also from the Word of God. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And if you would just repeat it with me, it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching by a live stream, you can click on the giving button or text to give right along with us.
We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold. Sickness and poverty must cease. For the devil.
Praise the Lord. I just want to give a quick testimony. We just heard from Ithaca. Our Ithaca campus, they've just added more chairs and they're absolutely packed right out. Amen. Isn't that exciting?
Amen, amen. How many of you know in this house this morning what day today is? Other than being Sunday, does anybody know what today is? Pastor's Appreciation Sunday. I love it. I love it. Listen, for those of you that are here, we know that we've been talking about this for a few weeks, and this is a national, I don't want to call it a holiday, but we do recognize nationally Pastor's Appreciation Month. So today we are celebrating our pastors. But we have a quick video we'd like to shoot or share with you before we get started.
Intentional, never failing. I know that all things are working for my good. Yeah, she's intentional, never failing. All things are
working for my good.
Cause she's intentional.
She's intentional.
Hey, and it never failing.
He's never failing.
All things are working.
Hey,
working for me, yeah, it's working for me, yeah, and I believe it's working for me. I can smile again and I don't have to worry, 'cause it's working for me, yeah, it's working for me, yeah, yeah, it's working for me. Come on, sing that out and say that.
I don't have to worry, 'cause
it's working for me, yeah, it's working for me,
it's working for me.
And I can hold my head up,
it's working,
hey, get your confidence back.
Let's stand to our feet and let's give our pastors a round of applause this morning. Come on, come on. Let's get loud. Woo! 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 He loves it when we scream for him. Let's do it again. All right. He so loves these moments. You can sit down if you want to. You don't have to. He told me not to go as long as I did first service, but you know, second service, we got all day. So we're in good shape now. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. Well, as you know, today we are celebrating our pastors. You know, it's amazing looking at these pictures. Our pastor, he ages well, right? Thank God. My goodness. Because, you know, the anointing falls from the head down, we'd be in trouble. That was good. All right, so real quick, I want to give some questions out, but I want to know. So when I ask these questions, I want you to stand up to your feet and stay standing. But if you have been saved or rededicated here at His Tabernacle Family Church, if you can just stand up. Just stand up. If you've been saved or rededicated here at His Tabernacle Family Church. If you have gone through or are in the class Rock Solid Faith right now, please stand to your feet. Stay standing, the rest of you. Amen. If you have been affected or have sat through the teaching No More Hurt, taught by Pastor Rhonda Spencer, if you could stand to your feet if you're not already standing. I want you to look around the room. This is what the impact that our pastors have made in our lives. Amen. Just look around the room. Now, this is second service. First service, obviously, we have more, but this is what shows impact. It shows the vision. And, you know, I can go back to 16-plus years ago when my wife and I started attending, and we're down the street. You can sit back down now if you want. And we're... No, you don't. No questions. You can't interrupt. This is your moment.
Josh Fuchsman didn't stand up. I was wondering, does he need to get saved this morning?
Josh, can you please stand up? Just stand up. Yes. Yes, he did. It's a domino. That's it right there. So here's the thing, though. 40 to 50 people were in attendance when we were going 16-plus years ago. And obviously, we see what's happening now. And this is just second service. But you know the thing about this is our pastors have been preaching and teaching, and they've been declaring and prophesying the vision of this house since way back when we first started 20-plus years ago. You know, so the vision that's in their hearts and in their spirits, they have not given up on. They have not stepped back. And you know what? We're called to be a regional church. Multi-sites, we hear about it. We're going to be here. We're going to be there. We're in Ithaca now. We're going to be launching next year in Mansfield, Wellsboro area. It's just amazing seeing the vision start to progress. Things are starting to come to fruition. But listen, it's because of our pastors. It's the shepherds of our house. And you know, today's a day where we can celebrate them. We can give honor where honor is due, and we can show our appreciation in celebrating them. I want to share with you a couple verses I have for you. Ezekiel chapter 3, 17 through 19.
It says, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. Yet, if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. One of the things about our pastors is that they live life with us. You know, when we see the pictures and when we see, obviously, them doing Rock Solid Faith, one of the things that pastor, how many years have you been teaching Rock Solid Faith? 20 plus years he's been teaching Rock Solid Faith. And you know what? We can't pry him out of that class because he loves to teach. He loves to train. He loves to equip the body. And he loves that ability to actually interject with people. Yes, pastor, I am going to take a little bit longer. He's looking at his watch, you know, just like everybody else during his preaching. Hmm. So anyway, the thing about this is they are right there next to us. When we're in the community serving our community, they're right there by us. When it's time to pray, they're right there praying. They're leading us. And you know what? That's something that, you know, you don't find very often. You don't find it every place. And I got to honestly say, we have the best pastors. Amen. Amen. And I'll end with this. 1 Timothy chapter 5, 17 and 18. The elders who perform their leadership duties well are to be considered worthy of double honor, financial support, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching the word of God concerning eternal salvation through Christ. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while it is treading out the grain to keep it from eating. And the worker is worthy of his wages, and he deserves a fair compensation. Listen, we are a blessed church, amen? When we have guest speakers come in our house, they are blessed because we love to bless those that are coming in to speak and to encourage us. It's time today for us to bless abundantly above all that they can imagine. We want to be a blessing to those that serve week in and week out daily. They're on their knees praying 24/7. Maybe not 24/7 because they got to sleep a little bit. But you get what I'm saying. They are serving us. And they are equipping us. They are investing into us. And listen, we are a changed people, are we not? So today, I want you, there's a seed offering envelopes in your seat. This is an opportunity that we have to be a blessing to our pastors. So we're going to have buckets up front just like we do during offering. But if you can make out your offering and your gift to our pastors, if you don't already have a card, you could drop them in the bucket as well. But we want to bless our pastors. Can everybody stand to your feet? Let's give a one big shout out to our pastors again. All right. Can we just come forward with your offering? And online, if you want to give online, you can text to give, and you actually use the keyword pastor, and you can give right online to be a blessing to your pastors. Come bring forward your blessing to pastors right now. Thank you. Love you.
We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. Devil is defeated. We are blessed. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold. Sickness and poverty must cease. For the devil is defeated. We are blessed.
Praise the Lord. We are so blessed. My wife and I just want to say thank you for allowing us to be your pastors. And I will tell you, she does look much, I'm looking much better as years have gone by. Wasn't that good? Honestly, though, my wife and I have aged really well. You see, when you got Jesus, you age well. You ever seen the people that they just look rough? You know, you can tell sin has taken a major, major cut out of them. All the gentlemen in the house, I want to remind you that there is a men's conference, a men's retreat, November 2nd through the 3rd.
at His Thousand Hills with the men's ministry. You don't want to miss that. It is going to build you, strengthen you. You get to meet new people, and it'll be a blessing to you. So if you could go out to the guest relation area, the information area, and sign up, that'd be awesome. It's only $75. It's not that expensive, and it's an overnight with all the food. And you'll have a blast, as well as you'll really be built up in the spirit. Some of you don't have enough friends. You need new friends. Turn to somebody and say, you need a new friend. Some of you need new friends. You have old friends that are leading you back to where you came from. And that's not God's desire or God's plan. Amen? We started a new series last week called The Watchman on the Wall. Now, every watchman, as we talked about in the book of Ezekiel, that what they did was they had walls back then, they had walled cities, and they would be a watchman or somebody standing guard. And the purpose for that guard was to blow the trumpet if they saw danger coming. That is, there is always a sound to a warning. And that is something we talked about last week, about sounds. How many of you heard those sounds? We did different warning alarms and fire alarms and screeching alarms, and there was a lot of alarms. But all those alarms were for one thing. They warned us that danger was coming so we would pay attention and escape before being hurt. How many of you have fire alarms in your house? Not everybody, that's all right. It's against the law not to, but, you know, besides that. How many of you have a CO2 alarm in your house? You want to know why? That is so that if there is danger that you can't see because you're sleeping or because you can't tell what's in the air, it warns you ahead of time so that you can escape and not die. Now, when I was in Pennsylvania, there was an entire family that died in their house because they did not have a CO2 alarm, and they died in their sleep. It was very sad. I think there was a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, and they died way premature, and the reason was there was no warning sign. God has created warning signs, and there are certain people to bring the warning. I don't know if you realize it, but without you, God's will cannot be done. There's a philosophy that, well, God is sovereign. He can do whatever he wants. And he can, except for two things. God cannot go against his word, and God will not go against your will. With that, God only has one plan to save this earth. And this plan is you. Turn to someone and say, you're the plan. Tell somebody else, you're the plan. There is no plan B. There is no second option. You and I, the body of Christ, are the plan of God. We are the watchmen on the wall to be able to declare that Jesus is good and not bad. Now listen, there are a lot of Christians out there who give a very bad message to the kingdom. There really are. Now, can you imagine walking up to somebody? You know, you're a Christian. You walk up to them and go, you're going to hell, you stupid idiot. If you don't get right before the Lord, you're going to burn forever. How many of you would want to get saved? How many of you think that would be called good news? That's not good news at all. All of a sudden, you walk up to somebody and say, you know what? The wages of sin is death. And you're going to die. There is no hope for you. You're just going to burn forever. There is no good news there. And it's amazing is that the world looks at the church not as people with good news, but as people who have more problems than the people of the world. We've got to have a change in the body of Christ. And the change in the body of Christ is we are people who have good news. Man, the good news is awesome, that Jesus Christ paid a debt that we could not pay. That Christ gave his life so that all the sin that we have, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift, everybody shout gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. That when you confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he takes all of your sins and throws them as far as the east to the west, remembers them no more. And every time you bring them up, he goes, what? Because he doesn't remember them. My God is so awesome. He loves you so much. God so loved the world that he gave. His passion for you and I is so much more than we could ever even realize. You see, that's the good news, that you are loved unconditionally. And how many of you know if someone didn't love you unconditionally, it'd be hard to love? You're married. Say, if you're married, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. The truth is, we all have issues. Anybody here have an issue? How many here have two issues? How many here are like our issue, like issued? Man, we got issues. And the issues are, we got issues. The great part about God and the good news is that he loves you so desperately that he was willing to give his very best to buy us back from our sinful life. He has a great plan for you and a purpose for you. He doesn't want you wandering with no purpose and design. He has, before the foundations of the earth, planned your life. He has great things for you. That's good news. The good news of Jesus is alive and is real. But the church has to get back to the good news of God. Now, it is true. The wages of sin is death, and some are saved by fear, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And you can scare somebody into heaven, but they'll never stay in heaven till they understand the good news of heaven. Amen. You see, that's the great part about you and I as watchmen on the wall. We are here to declare the greatness of our God. You know, it concerns me where, and when you start looking at the national average, and even as individuals in this room, that majority of us in this room will not share our faith with anybody in an entire year. Now, we know this is true because the national statistics are that the average church sees less than one new soul saved a year. Now, that's not the way it is here, thank God. Amen? But realistically, the majority of people in this church will not share their faith with anybody. They'll not share the good news of Jesus with anybody. And you know, I don't believe in any way, shape, or form that it's malicious. I just believe that many people are intimidated and simply don't know how to share their faith. So what we're going to do is next week, remember, we have one service at 10 a.m. next week. So if you come at 11, you're late. Tell somebody, 10 a.m. Shout, one service. So the question is not whether we should share our faith, because we are the hope of the world, amen? I said we are the only hope the world has, amen? So since we are the only hope the world has, then we have to be people that are willing to blow the trumpet. You see, that's the passion and the power. The job of the watchman was that their job was to be up on the wall. Their job was to be up on the wall. And as they're up here, their whole job in being up here is to be able to see further than some of the other individuals. So they could look out and see danger. They could look out and see where there's going to be trouble. They could look out and see if there's going to be an attack. They could look out and see if there's going to be danger. And with that, God gave them, or they were told, to have a shofar, which is like a trumpet. And when danger came, they would grab that shofar and they'd blow it. Doo-doo, doo-doo, doo-doo. That's about the best I got. And it would warn everybody that was sleeping or everybody that wasn't paying attention to get ready. There's danger coming. There's danger that it can be seen where you personally cannot. The Bible says that we are the watchmen on the wall. Brother Terry, read Ezekiel chapter 33. A little bit louder.
Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon the land and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman. When he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself, but he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand.
So here we are as a watchman. We're standing here and declaring, as we're looking over, as the believers, the sons and daughters of God, the Bible's very clear that there's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ.
I better hear more than one amen. There's only one name under heaven which while you shall be saved. It's the name of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The Bible says, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. There's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. Sadly enough, there are a lot of Christians who don't believe that anymore. So they're standing up on the wall and they're watching people not follow Christ, not accept Christ as their Savior, not start living for the Lord. And instead of warning them, they stay silent. And what's happened is their mind, they believe the lie that says there are many pathways to heaven. But the Bible says there's only one pathway to heaven. Now here's the truth. The person you will not share the gospel with, the person you will not share the good news with, the person you will not warn is somebody you hate more than anybody else. If you know that there's danger coming and you're unwilling to share to protect them, then you know you don't care about them. And this is an issue that's come upon the body of Christ. Pastor Cody preached a message not too many weeks ago that will be showing on television here in the next few weeks. It's called Jehovah or Me-Jova. What is it? What's it called? Me-Hova or Jehovah. Now, we have a lot of Me-Hova folk. And that is, it's all about me. It's about me being happy. It's about me being satisfied. You know, I'm coming down. Yesterday, I was at this wedding. And I did this wedding, and Marcus and Nick were actually in first service, honeymooners in first service. You know that's early. Jesus, help us all. And at the wedding, I said to them, you are not doing these vows, and I don't have in the vows if I'm unhappy. And what's happened is we have a lot of folks that are not committed to each other because they just want to be happy. They just want everyone to accept them. They just want everybody's approval. But I'm here to tell you, as watchmen on the wall, our job is not to have everyone like us. Our job is to warn them. That's why you're here on this planet. You're here with divine purpose. You're here with divine design. You're here with a God-given assignment. And that is to warn people, that circle of influence that he's placed you around, to warn them that without Jesus, they cannot go to heaven. That without going to the cross and accepting Jesus as their Savior, they will not go to heaven. You see, not all dogs go to heaven. Now, I don't believe that most people don't share the faith because they don't want to. I believe that most people don't share their faith because they're intimidated. They simply don't know how. Has anybody ever met one of those crazy Christians before? How many here ever met a crazy Christian? Man, you were embarrassed for God for them. They were a nutcase. Man, you know what I'm talking about. How many were that crazy Christian? Don't raise your hand. Sorry. You know, you were nuts, man. You know you went out there and you made a fool of God and you made a fool of yourself. So I really believe, and I just wanted to share this with you today. I really believe that the majority of people, it's not that they don't want to share their faith. It's not that they don't want to blow the trumpet. It's not that they don't want to, but simply they don't know how, or they're intimidated. They don't know how to start. They don't know how to share. I want to say this to you, every one of you in this room, and it's this. That if you never start, you'll never go anywhere. A lot of people are afraid to start because they're afraid of failure. But true failure only comes if you never start. There's a need for you and I to start sharing our faith. But in this, recognizing simply this, that when you start learning to share your faith, you're just a babe learning how to talk. Now, I remember when I started preaching the gospel. I remember I think I was 18 years old. I preached my very first sermon at my home church in Gardner, Massachusetts. And I remember it was at least now, because I still have the notes. It was at least a good hour sermon. I did it in 7 minutes flat. Then there was another time I was in a youth pastor in Pennsylvania. And I remember preaching on a Sunday night. And in the middle of my sermon, I woke up, and this is what I heard. It was a high monotone. And I said in my own head, boy, that is so irritating. What I learned was that over time, you learn how to hone your skill. You learn how to develop. You learn how to mature to where now, I mean, I still have a lot to learn, but I'm a good communicator of the gospel of Christ. I love preaching. I love teaching. I love giving the gospel to a way, in a way that you can understand it, in a way that it touches your heart, in a way that persuades you to follow Christ. I've learned that over time. I didn't have it initially. It's a lot like this when we start sharing our faith. It's a lot like this video. Thinking good, that's all I know, huh? Well, let me tell you, when you start sharing your faith, you're a lot like that kid. Someone gave me a shofar. So for those who don't know what that is, it's like a big ram's horn that they used in the time of God, and they would blow the ram's horn. So I took this ram's horn, this is what I did. I tried to blow this thing. Now I'm kind of musical. I play flute and bassoon and guitar. So I mean I know somewhat. And so I grabbed that shofar. I went. I know I blew a blood vessel. And finally it went. Some of us are intimidated with sharing our faith because we don't want to go. But you need to know that that is how we start. Yeah. That true failure is not the, true failure is not blowing it at all. Yes. No, I'm not doing the, again. As believers, this is what God is calling us to do, is learn how to share our faith. And next Sunday morning at 10 a.m., I'm going to start teaching you how to share your faith. Practically, I'm going to teach you how to share your relationship with Jesus with somebody else. You don't want to miss next week, and you want to bring somebody because they can get saved the next week's service. So that's what I'm going to teach you. But I want to show you that most people aren't doing this out of a willful, I don't want to share my faith. But really, most of us just don't want to sound like, oop. We want to sound like that last guy, but you can't sound like that last guy. You can't sound like the pro until you're like the kid that goes, boop. See, this is where we start to grow and to mature. We're all different. Can I hear an amen? What I love watching God do is taking us from babyhood in our walk with God to a level of maturity in our walk with God. But knowing that without us, God's word is not going to get out. Without you, turn to somebody and say, he's talking about you. Without you, somebody's not going to heaven. I'm going to say it one more time. Without you, somebody is not going to heaven. You are God's plan A. You know, the word of God is clear. I am not ashamed of the good news of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And here's another verse that's just so powerful. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. But how will the people call on Jesus in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe on whom they have not called because they have not heard? How will they hear without a messenger? You see, God has called us to be a messenger. There are people that are not going to go to heaven if we don't start sharing our faith. How many of you know somebody? You knew them. You had gotten saved. There was somebody from your past. You felt prompted to go share the gospel with them. You did not, and then they died. Does anybody know somebody like that? Yeah, I mean, their hands up all over the place. How is that possible? Well, because we all know somebody that we should have shared the gospel with, and they died before we thought they would. We didn't have a chance. One of the very first questions I get all the time when someone sends me a message and says, hey, you know, will you pray for my relative? They're not doing well. First question I always ask is, are they born again? Because truthfully, if they die without being born again, that's a far worse condition than just simply dying. So we need to make sure that we are the people that are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We're not ashamed to tell somebody. But in that, we want to make sure that we are people that know that we've got to learn how to share the gospel of Jesus so that we can actually make a good sound and not a bad sound. Amen? The very first way to do this is making sure you're living it right. How many of you know that people listen far more to what you live than what you say? How many of you met that crazy Christian who says they believe in God, they love God, they're sold out to God, but they live very, very far from God? How many of you have had to say, you know, I've done it. I've walked up to people and they've come up to me and they said, Pastor, they go to your church, don't they? If you only knew how they lived. And I have to apologize. I do. I'll apologize for them and I'll say, they're growing. Really, what I want to do is slap them. Well, why? Well, because people are watching how we live. The gospel we preach with our life is far louder than the gospel we preach. And they're watching how we act. They're watching how we live. And we're all growing. Can I hear an amen? But in that growing period, there has to be processes to where we start getting rid of things in our lives that are the loud boop. And we start living for the Lord. You know, there are people that have been living for the Lord for 20, 30 years that are still living the same sinful lifestyle they were when they got saved. And I want you to realize that that's a serious problem. Nobody in this room is perfect. But the fact is that we're going to win far more people with our lifestyle than we are with our words. So the very first way to start learning how to share the gospel of Christ is to start living the gospel. I was at a business the other day, and I was talking to this guy because he knew who I was. And he felt comfortable enough to share with me that he was born again, that he grew up in church, and started talking to me about the church he goes to. And I said, listen now, does everybody here know you're born again? He goes, no, I don't think so. That's a problem. I mean, that's a problem. That's a problem. It's a problem when you can work at a location and nobody knows you're born again. That means you're the same. If you're the same, why would they want anything? Well, there isn't anything different. See, our lifestyles are that to where this young man, he never told anybody he was born again. And you know, honestly, they should have already started to question him. I remember one time when I was working garbage. In my first church, I was paid $10 a week full time, and so I had to drive school bus to take care of my wife and my brand new son Cody. And we ate a lot of deer meat, a lot of pasta, and a lot of rice. And so here I was. I went to the board because I drove school bus. I went to the board and I said, listen, I can't drive school bus all summer long. Is it possible that the church can give me $200 a week during the summer and then I'll go back and I'll drive school bus in the fall? And the board member, he was a real jerk. Board member looked at me and he said, I'm sorry, he was a real jerk. Board member looked at me and says, just give me all your bills and I'll make sure they're paid. I says, I don't need you in my business. I said, are you going to pay me or not? And he says, you're not worth $200 a week. And I said, well, that's okay. So I went down into the city and I worked for Cornell University cleaning out the apartments of the students after they left for the summer. I want you to know that's really gross. I worked with a whole crew, man. and they're Jesus Christ in this and God damn in this, and they're cussing here and they're cussing there. They're trying to tell their dirty jokes. And I'm not running around saying, hi, I'm a preacher from Newfield. I'm just living my life. I'm living for Christ. And all of a sudden, within less than a week, they said, how come you don't swear? Well, I said, that's really easy. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. I said, I don't need to cuss. I don't need to. I try to use language correctly. And they said, well, you know, there's nothing wrong with this. I said, you know what? I got a question for you. Instead of saying God damn, I said, because God wants good things for you, why don't you say Satan damn? So it became the joke. It became the joke. They're all running around, Satan damn, Satan damn, Satan damn. But by the end of the summer, two families had given their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because I was different. The Bible calls you peculiar. Turn to somebody and say, I know that, I know that. He calls you peculiar. That means you're not the same as the world. Our lifestyle plays a massive part in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You listen, it's so funny. The world knows how the Christian should live. Come on now. You're sitting there with a butt in your hand, dropping the F-bomb, trying to share Jesus. They'll look at you and say, you need drugs. Because they're not listening to a blessed word you're saying. You know, you're running around and you're betting anything that moves. You can't be shocked when you start to share Jesus with them that they say, wrong bed. Because they know how you're supposed to live. Can I hear an amen? What's amazing is the world knows how the church is supposed to live, but the church makes their own ideas of how God wants them to live. We do that because we want to justify our actions. But the fact is this, if we're going to win the world, we've got to be different from the world. Come out from among them, the Bible says, be ye separate. That means, listen, we got to occupy till he comes. But the truth is that if you and I are the same and our lifestyles are the same as the world, let's be honest, why would they want what we have? My wife, she worked in a company. Actually, it was an office filled with women. Nine women. And she was working secular with nine women. And man, she said, I hated walking out of the room because when I was in the room, when a woman walked out, they ate that one for lunch. And then when they came in, they loved them to their face. She said, I was always afraid to leave the room. Well, at that point in time, something had happened in our life. And what had happened in our life was we had bought a house on homeowner finance because I was an evangelist. And 1 week I'd make $300 and next week I'd make $1,000. The next 2 weeks I'd make zero. So, I mean, there was nothing a bank could give you a loan for. And so we had a piece of property. We sold it for $10,000 and we put it on this house and we started investing in this home. Well, 3 years down the line, all of a sudden, I'm on the road as an evangelist, and a banker and a police officer knock on the door of the house. Now, I only know this because Rhonda called me on the phone and said, we've got problems. And I said, what's going on? She said, there's a banker and a police officer, and they're telling us that we have not made a mortgage payment in 3 years. I said, I'm telling you, we can prove we made our mortgage payment. What we found out was the guy we were making the mortgage payment, Homeowner Finance, was pocketing all the money. He never paid the mortgage company. So here we are, we lost our house. Now we had 20 some odd thousand dollars into that home. We had made it exactly what we wanted it to be. And here we are, we've lost the house. That's right, that's the house you are in now, huh? Oh, she's in your house, that's right, I'm sorry. They got married, sorry. Her parents live in our house that happened to. So here we have this whole situation. Well, remember, my wife is working secular. Now, the women know what's going on with our family. But my wife's not running around and cursing these people. My wife is living the blessed life. Well, Pastor, how is it the blessed life? You've just lost your house. Well, listen now. I'm not moved by what I see. I know that God is able to do abundantly above all I could even ask or imagine. Man, I've learned a long time ago. I'm not moved by what happens on this planet. I'm moved by the word of God. Well, my wife and I live this. Now, we're not perfect people in any way, shape, or form. I'm definitely less perfect than she is. She is amazing. Pop-Tart love, amen. I did get Pop-Tarts this week. Thanks, Ma. And here we have this whole, listen now, they're watching my wife. They're watching how how she's reacting to losing her home. They're watching how she's reacting to losing over $20,000. And her reactions were that of the Word of God. So literally before the end of that time where she was, all nine women gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not listening first what we're saying. They're listening first how we're walking. It's important that we get those things out of our lives as we're growing up in Christ. Some of us, we got things in our life, man, God's already convicted us. God's already spoken to us. Yet we're unwilling to relinquish them. We're unwilling to obey him because we like our sin too much. Now listen, I'm not talking about only the sin that everybody can see. I'm talking about the sins they can't see. And what's happened is, what we don't realize is that the world is watching us. And literally, we can cost, according to this portion right here in Ezekiel 33, we can literally cost somebody their eternity. If we're so consumed with our own little worlds and our own little sin and we're unwilling to live our life correctly before the Lord, then what happens is what's inside is coming outside. They're watching us and it can't be hidden. They're seeing, they're watching, and they're saying to themselves, well, listen now, they go to that church. I've had people come to this church and they ask me, don't they go to your church? I thought they were Christians. Why would they do that? And it's not that anybody's perfect. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that our life should be different. Amen. That is the tell. Come on now. Amen. That is the tell that God is real and not dead. That is the tell that this is not about religion, but a vibrant relationship with the living God. This is the tell that says, listen, I have been changed from the inside. I can go through this room and I can pick out people in this room that when you came to this church, man, you were bad. Bad. But now as God has transitioned you and changed you from the inside out, you are a different man and you are a different woman. See, God changes us. This is the awesome part about the gospel of Jesus. It's alive and not dead. And the more we yield to Jesus, the more we yield, we give ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is our reasonable service. The more we lay our life down, the more he lifts our life up. The more we allow him to get in and start taking out, the more he fills us with the life of heaven. You see, this is not about loss. This is about gain. This is not about being perfect. This is about being perfected. This is not about us not having problems. This is about us living above the problems. This is about us being the testimony to the world that living for God is worth every second. You see, this is the awesome part about who Christ is. You know, when you first got saved, you're like that little kid. And I'm not talking sharing your gospel, I'm talking living the gospel. But if you're still after 5 years, you got to wonder if you actually got a trumpet. Say amen or oh my. As your pastor, our job is not to make you like me, because I can preach the sermons. Listen, if I want you to like me, I'm going to preach a 15-minute sermon. I just want you all to know that Jesus loves you. Love, 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 love. And you can live any way you want. You're going to heaven. I know how to say it right. I know how to deceive you good. But that's not what the Word says. The Word says that he's changed us from darkness to light. He's changed us from being dead to life, that there is a change in our life. We're not the same. And because of that, we're called to live differently than the world. You know, I'll share something you don't know. My wife and I'm almost done. Another 2 hours, we'll be out of here. Oh, I love you. What many of you don't know is my wife and I, almost 6 weeks now, 6 weeks on Tuesday, our house was flooded. Some of you saw some pictures, but you have no clue, because we don't live in that world. We live in praise. We live in victory no matter what the world is offering. And so they've come into our house. We haven't lived there in 6 weeks. We live in a hotel. We live in a hotel because we have no place to live. Our floors are gone. Our walls are all cut up. There is no insulation. Our life is completely different. No, none of you would ever know that. In fact, our kids, which is really funny, Pastor Chad, said, I've got to come out to the house and see it myself, because you never let anybody really know what's going on in the natural. And so he came out to the house and he said, okay, I'm ready to leave. Because every room has chaos in it. We can't stay there. But you would never know that. Why? Because I don't live there. I live in heavenly places. And it really doesn't matter what happens in this world. What matters is where we're going. Every temporary setback, God has a solution for, and it's going to be better than where we were. I've got greater things ahead of me than what's happening at this very moment. You see, I don't live here. I live here, because God doesn't live there. God lives here. I walk by faith and not by sight. We're not moved by what we see. We're moved by what we know, called the Word of God. This is how we live. You see, and the world watches, because the world is paying attention. I went to the bank yesterday, and this lady said to me, the banker, she said, I've heard what's going on. And I'm thinking, I don't even know you really. She says, I know what's going on. She even knew that we weren't living at home. She says, I know all that stuff. And I don't know who you are, but you know too much. And she said, how you doing? And I said, actually, great. I said, the hotel life stinks. I know, you think it's great. It's great for about 3 days. But man, after like 3 days, the hotel life stinks. But I said, you know what? God's great. God's going to take care of everything. Man, we got no problems. Thank God we had flood insurance. And God's going to bless us, and our house will be put back together. Just a matter of time. And she goes, it's good to see you have a good attitude. It's not an attitude. It's a beatitude. Amen? It is that you and I are not living there. We're living here. You see, and they'll see that lifestyle and they'll say, listen, they've got something I want. I remember when I was in high school, man, and acid was the big drug, man. If you don't know what that is, it was the purple pyramid. We'd be in geometry class, algebra class, and they'd be dropping acid, you know. Everybody's passing around the acid tabs. Everybody's trying to get high, you know. And so, now, listen, I never did it. Honestly, I never did drugs. My dad taught me something. He said, I want to know what I've done, how I've done, who I did it with, and if I had fun doing it. And you can't always do that if you're on drugs or drinking. And if you need help having fun, then you have a deeper problem. I listened to my daddy. And so here we were. You know, I got saved March 13th, 1983, approximately 11:31. I grew up in church, on the pew, under the pew, beside the pew, and I pewed in the pew. I'm talking like I would wait for the pastor to pause, and then I would pass gas on a hard wooden pew so it would reverberate, and then everybody would stop, and everybody look. My Uncle Harold, right here, second row, would march down the aisle, pick me up by my ear. This is why one lobe is longer than the other. He picked me up by it, and he dragged me out. I get a whooping there, and I get a whooping at home. You laugh. It wasn't funny. But I remember when I gave my heart to Jesus, I carried a parallel Bible my senior year. How many of you know what a parallel Bible is? A parallel Bible is four versions in the same book. So this is one version. It was this thick. I carried that Bible, and I gave a verse for the day at my locker every day. I remember standing there one day giving a verse for the day, and one of the kids walked by. My hands were in my pocket, and he punched me right in the mouth. Boom. Oh, yeah, I tasted blood. I had a choice. Chase him down, beat the snot out of him, because I actually was big and not here, but I was big in other spots. And I chose just to chuckle and laugh. But I remember as I'm sharing the gospel in my senior year, you know, people make fun of me. And I remember one time in an English class, the book of Revelation came up, and I started sharing the gospel in my entire English class. I took over the English class for that day. It was awesome, sharing the gospel. Some people made fun of me. But what was amazing was that when they started having trouble, they knew who to go to. One kid lost one of his parents. He found me in the hallway. He was like one of these kids that always made fun of me. But when he needed prayer, he knew where to go to. In my yearbook, the biggest tabster, we called them tabsters, the biggest acid freak she sold, she did a lot of selling of acid, wrote in my yearbook, "It's finally good to see somebody stand up for what they believe. Please never change." See, people are watching us. They're watching our actions. They're watching our reactions. And the greatest testimony that we can have is living right before the Lord, living in His Word, living in the experience of heaven, living in the experience of victory. But I've been made more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm not a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm not a survivor. I'm an overcomer. I'm not somebody just making it by. I'm going over the top. I'm blessed going in, and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in the storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings are going to chase me down. They're going to trip me up. I'm a child of God. Come on now. Shout amen. That's who you are. You're an ambassador of the Most High King. You're the one with the message of good news that with Jesus, all things are possible. Isn't it awesome to know who you are? And you see, what's happened is they're watching us. So next week, I'm going to start teaching you how to share it with your mouth, how to share the gospel by sharing it. But I want to challenge you this week. Some of you, you've been playing in your sin for so long, man. And God has been convicting you, and you're not responding. And I want you to hear that according to the watchman on the wall, that if you don't blow the trumpet, if you don't warn them, you don't tell them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and they don't go to heaven, that blood is on your head. Now, we don't want to talk about that. We want to talk about the good news. Because can you imagine, how many of you, if you've led someone to the Lord, you know what I'm talking about. Man, it's good news when your friend gives their heart to Jesus. It's good news when your parent or your sibling gives their heart to the Lord. It's good news. Man, it makes your heart just jump when somebody responds to the love that Jesus actually has for them. And today, I want to challenge you. I don't know what sin you have in your life, but it's a great week to get it out. I don't know what you've been covering. I don't know what you've been hiding, but nothing. It was a horrible story. I need to lose a few pounds. And the other day I got up and was walking to the bathroom and scared myself. And the good part was I said, it's a good thing that I'm naked before the Lord anyways. The truth is that we're all naked before God. He knows our hearts. He knows our thoughts. He knows our feelings before we even feel them. There's nothing hidden before the Lord. I don't know what you have in your life, but I know this. Somebody needs you to get it out. Somebody needs you to start living right. Somebody needs you to make sure that your life is showing Jesus, because without Jesus, they're not going to heaven. God's placed you in their life. You hold an enormous part in their eternity. And I challenge you, you've got the greatest news that Jesus Christ is alive, that He loves them, that He'll forgive them, that He'll give them eternity, and they can have a relationship with the Father. Please make sure that your life is the greatest testimony that you have. And when you do that, they're going to write in your yearbook, "It's finally good to see somebody stand up for what they believe. Please don't ever change." The world's waiting for you. They're waiting for you. You're God's plan. Please, let's not just share the good news with our mouth. Let's share it with our lives. How are you living? Will they know by your life that you're born again? And if not, what do you need to change to be different from the world? God will help you. No matter how hard it would seem to you, He'll help you. Because He loves people and He loves you. I'd like you to bow your head with me this morning. This morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not asking you to join a church or join a religion. What's happened is you've sat under the preaching of the Word, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the preaching of the Word. So God is speaking to you now. God is drawing you now, and He's telling you He wants you to be part of His family. He wants you to know that He cares for you and that He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. He wants you to know that no matter what your sins are, He'll wash them away and make you brand new. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, this is where we start on this adventure. That's that pfft. But baby, you got to start somewhere to get somewhere. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior and you want Him in your life, today, I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. His name is Jesus. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you always. That's real. That's Christ. Today, if you would like Christ as your Savior, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend. Thank you, young man. You can raise your hand. That's all right. That's good. Let the little children lead him. Thank you, ma'am. I see your hand right there. You can put it right back down. Is there anyone else? I'm not going to wait long. See, if I have to convince you, then I'm manipulating you and making you do something. But man, I don't know about you. It's not that I just don't want to go to hell. But what greater privilege but knowing God? One more time. You're not right with Jesus. You know you're not right with God. You're in a backslidden condition. You want to get right with Jesus? One more time, I'm going to ask you. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand up. You want to get your heart right with the Lord. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? Thank you. I see that hand over there. Anyone else this morning? Thank you very much. See that hand. Is there anyone else? Come on. Five. I'm going to count down. Five, four. Come on, get your hand up. Three, two. Come on, last call. And one. Let's all stand to our feet. Can you give a hand clap to those that have decided to serve the Lord? What I'm excited about is not only are you choosing to follow God, but God's going to use you in an awesome way. He is going to use you in an awesome, awesome way. And man, when you take your last breath, you're not going to have to live regret. You're going to be able to say, I live my life for Jesus. Amen. Now listen, if you didn't raise your hand, can I have everyone turn to the person next to them and say, if you didn't raise your hand but you want to go up, I'll go with you. Come on, ask the person next to you. I'm going to ask you to be brave. Those who raise their hand, I'm going to ask you to come right out of your chair and meet me right up front. The Bible says, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before the Father. Come on, come right out of your chair. Come right over here, baby girl. Amen. Come on, this is your moment. It's your moment. Who cares what anybody else says or does? It's your moment. I'm so proud of you, baby. He's going to change your life forever. It's an awesome day. I'm so proud of you, honey. I'm so proud of you. It's going to be an awesome day. Young lady, I'm so proud of you, baby girl. Can you give one more hand clap? Remember, don't let heaven outshout you. Do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that when one person gets right with God, all of heaven goes into a party. All of heaven. So right now, you guys are causing uproar. Heaven is shouting right now just for you. Man of God, I'm proud of you. Proud of you. If you'll follow Mindy right over here, we're gonna get your Bibles, get you prayed up, get you all set. Now listen, we don't want you just to start. We want you to finish. We want you to finish all the way, man. It's going to be awesome. Isn't it great? Isn't it great? Pastor Obi is preaching in Texas. He preached last night. 36 people gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, like I said, wherever one of the pastors are, there you are also. Pastor Cody was preaching in Elmira last night. Pastor Obi's preaching in Texas last night. Pastor Chad's preaching in Ithaca this morning in a packed house. Man, we're all over the place. South Africa is watching us this morning. Here it is. What do you need to extract? What do you need to get out? There's nothing more important than pleasing Jesus. The person next to you could be gone tomorrow. And if you're living your life for them, dear God, you're going to have massive loss. But when Jesus is your number one, he is your greatest strength. Amen. Father, I just speak blessing over each one that's in this room in Jesus' name. Each one watching by live stream in the name of Jesus. I declare, God, no weapon formed against them shall prosper. I declare, God, we're going to live for you. God, not just speak we're living for you, but live for you. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for conviction. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing change to our life. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving us power to overcome sin. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving us power to share the gospel. Let us lead at least one soul to you this week, Jesus. We're not ashamed of the gospel. The good news of eternity. We love you so much, and we honor you today in Jesus' name. I'm going to have the prayer team. If the prayer team can come around the front of the altar right now. I don't know if you're struggling with a sin. You want deliverance. You want somebody to help you. You want just someone to pray with you, encourage you. The prayer team's right here, right now. They'll minister to you. God will move in your life like you've never moved before. I love you. Have an awesome day. Enjoy the cupcakes. Thank you for being a part of this house. We just love you so much. We are family. Amen. Shout, we're family. Amen. Have an awesome day. Serve God with all of your heart.